May these moments of quiet worship renew in us the sense of joy, recreate in us the spirit of peace, revive in us the zeal of service. May we be sincere in thought, wise in speaking, courageous in deed, and ready to serve. I'm going to light our chalice now using some words by Cliff Reid. Flame of the Spirit, kindled in our hearts and in our worship, come among us as God's minister to make us holy. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in our own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other in this world in which COVID has not yet gone away and the clouds of war hover. May we keep in touch however we can, and help each other however we may. May we remember that caution is still needed, that close contact is still unwise. Help us to be grateful for the freedoms we have, and to respect the wishes of others. May we hold in our hearts all those who are grieving, lost, alone, victims of violence and war, suffering in any way. Amen. Our story today is by David Cole of Waymark Ministries. There was once a wise old monk who was meditating in the forest, enjoying the creatures and creation around him. A hunter came across him in the forest. "Why are you wasting time out here?" the hunter asked, "when there are things that need to be done, and people who need to be cared for. This is a frivolous waste of time when there is so much to do." The wise monk turned to the hunter and said, "Put an arrow in your bow and release it." The hunter did so. "Put in another and release it," said the monk. The hunter did so. "And another," the monk said. Again and again, the monk instructed the hunter to string an arrow in his bow and release it. After a short time, the hunter turned to the monk and said, "If I keep working my bow like this, it will soon break. It will be good for nothing." "Indeed, you are right," the wise old monk said to the hunter. "You know your equipment well. A bow that is too often strung tight without rest will soon break." And so it is with God's children. I invite you to join with me, if you wish, in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. Our next reading is also by David Cole. The practice of creating opportunities for us to simply be with God is vital for our inner well-being. We may say, but I do not have time to do this. I already have so much to fit into my day. If this is a response you make or have made, ask yourself this question. Did you, over the past 48 hours, find a few hours to sleep? Did you, over the past 48 hours, find time to stop and eat? If the answer is yes, then you have been listening to the cries of your body for its needs, and rightly so. But be aware that your soul makes similar cries to stop and be filled. This is what contemplative spirituality is, creating opportunity for your soul to gain what your body gains through food and sleep. Stillness, rest, and filling. There have always been those drawn to the quiet stillness in faith. Through the ages they have been known as different things: mystics, hermits, solitaries, contemplatives. But they all have one thing in common: the desire to be set apart for a time from the activity of the world, to be still with God, to dwell within the divine presence, to become drenched with it. We don't have to be called to do this for the whole of our lives. In fact, most of us won't be called to do this. Most of us will be called to live in the world and engage with some kind of work and employment. Many of us will be called to have families, and many of us will be called to other things as well. But within all of this, we need to ensure that we take the example of those who saw the benefit in contemplation, just as Jesus did, and engage in it. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, there is quiet that is all emptiness, and there is quiet that is life. There is quiet that is rich with appreciation, with gratitude, and with love. There is quiet that is creative. There is quiet that is full of generous purpose and serene determination. There is quiet that is the very atmosphere of onward things, of life and growth that shall be in the days and years to come. There is quiet within the mind, the heart, the spirit, when outside there is no quiet at all. There is quiet wherein is order, when without there are contention and disorder. There is quiet that is wisdom, though the noises of misunderstanding and dissensions are loud. Let us seek quiet now and then, an inner quiet that renews and invigorates, glorious quiet, the quiet of serenity, the quiet that confronts with confidence the clamours of our fear. Quiet whereto we may retire, not to evade responsibility or whatever of strife may be necessary. Quiet that brings increase of strength. Not that the sounds and sights, the enthusiasms and the disappointments of our day are unimportant, but let us seek a quiet aspect of living that is full and intense and real. Let us seek quiet, blessed quiet that is life and that opens out to more life. Amen. Our final reading is by Peter J. Roberts, a Unitarian minister. Very often, our experience of prayer may be that of sitting quietly with others, whilst a worship leader speaks or reads out his or her form of prayer. That form may include some element of petitionary prayer, if not on behalf of our needs, then for the needs of others, asking some outside power to act as we think to be right. Or it may agnostically avoid the presumption of any real deity, and instead consist of a series of aspirations concerning ourselves and our world. Sitting, listening, perhaps agreeing with the words spoken, or just as likely having reservations about their form or content, our prayer becomes limited to that of an exercise in critical comprehension between ourselves and the worship leader. It becomes a closed circuit of human thought and intention. In contemplative prayer, although forms of words may be used as an aid to quietening the mind, it is essentially an opportunity to close down our mechanical faculties, even our awareness of others being present. Instead, we relax ourselves, both physically and mentally. We let things go that would otherwise preoccupy us. In such a way, we can empty ourselves to make some room for the Spirit to move within us and inform us of what we really need to know. Other than very consciously waiting, listening, and sensing, we do not make any call, invoke any presence, or otherwise seek to get in the way. In Soto Zen Buddhism, there is the requirement of just sitting. In contemplative prayer, we need to just listen. I invite you now into a time of stillness and reflection. to find a position in which your body is comfortable, so that you may be open to the presence of the Spirit among us and between us. There will be some words. There will be two intervals of silence, then a few more words. We have come together in a time of reflection, so we relax our bodies and our breathing. Breathe easily, slowly, deeply, and ride the sensation of simply breathing. We are here and now, letting go of the thoughts that we let preoccupy us so much. Thinking not of what happened earlier, or of what might happen later. Be here, now, in body, mind and spirit. Nowhere else. With relaxed breathing, consciously let all else fall away and open ourselves to this time of peace and quiet in the silence. Let the silence enter in, and the spirit of holy peace and wisdom will move throughout to heal, to enlighten, to strengthen us. With every fresh intake of breath, let the spirit enter in, to enrich us physically and mentally. With every exhalation of breath, let some more of our present tiredness and negativity be dispersed. Blessed be that divine presence which gives us life in a beautiful world and a wondrous universe. May our brief lives be such as to add to that beauty and wonder, thereby glorifying the divine unity that creates, sustains, and transforms all beings eternally. So may it be. Amen. Let's have some music. Since the beginning of February, I have been doing an online course in Celtic Christian spirituality, led by David Cole of Waymark Ministries, and I have found it fascinating. One of the modules was about contemplative spirituality, and in the notes I was sent for this module, David Cole defines contemplative spirituality as finding the balance of doing and being, which is as good a definition as I have ever seen. Even Jesus often withdrew into silence and prayer to bring himself back into balance. Being does not come very naturally for most of us. As I have said before, it is very easy to spend our lives chasing after the next thing that needs doing, the next goal that presents itself to us, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. We move forwards through time, and it is natural to look to the future. But I am afraid that this is often at the expense of appreciating what we have in the present. This is certainly true in my case. I always have a to-do list on the go, especially this year when I am president of our Unitarian General Assembly, and have to consciously put a weekly Sabbath into my diary so that I can let go of doing and spend some time just being. This is why I find the words of the poem by Unitarian Universalist Minister Lynn Ungar, which I shared with you a while ago, so moving. What of your rushed and useful life? Imagine setting it all down. Papers, plans, appointments, everything. Leaving only a note. Gone to the fields to be lovely. Be back when I'm through with blooming. Such a fabulous reminder that actually there are other things than the current task which are just as important if our lives are to be rich and meaningful rather than rushed and pressured. I love the story of the hunter and the monk which we had as our first reading. It is such a clear parable for our times. The monk asks the hunter to shoot an arrow, then another, then another. When he protests that if I keep working my bow like this, it will soon break. It will be good for nothing. The wise monk draws the parallel with our own lives, saying, "You know your equipment well. A bow that is too often strung tight, without rest, will soon break. And so it is with God's children." Reading this story helped me to realise once again that many of the pressures in our lives, certainly many of the pressures in my life, are self-inflicted. It is my distracted self who chases after material possessions, who needs to be in control, who perpetually worries about the next thing, who strives after perfection, and who finds it hard to let go of old regrets and grievances. I'm doing it all to myself. I'm beginning to learn that the starting point for breaking out of all this pressure, for getting away from all this self-inflicted stress, is just letting go. Yet relinquishing control, stepping out of the centre, sitting still and letting nothing happen, are all incredibly difficult for me. And I guess this is true for many of us. It involves trust. Trust that things will work out without our help. Trust that God has got our backs. And it's a slow process. But I have found that sitting in silence for a short time each morning is a sure route towards inner peace. So I was convicted by David Cole's words. This practice of creating opportunities for us to simply be with God is vital for our inner well-being. We may say, but I do not have time to do this. I already have so much to fit into my day. If this is a response you make or have made, ask yourself this question. Did you, over the past 48 hours, find a few hours to sleep? Did you, over the past 48 hours, find time to stop and eat? If the answer is yes, then you have been listening to the cries of your body for its needs, and rightly so. But be aware that your soul makes similar cries to stop and be filled. This is what contemplative spirituality is, creating opportunity for your soul to gain what your body gains through food and sleep, stillness, rest, and filling. I loved Unitarian minister Peter Roberts' description of contemplative prayer, which we heard as our final reading. In contemplative prayer, although forms of words may be used as an aid to quietening the mind, it is essentially an opportunity to close down our mechanical faculties, even our awareness of others being present. Instead, we relax ourselves, both physically and mentally. We let things go that would otherwise preoccupy us. In such a way, we can empty ourselves to make some room for the Spirit to move within us and inform us of what we really need to know. My Quaker friend Ray Lovegrove reminded me recently of one of the Quaker advices. Do you try to set aside times of quiet for openness to the Holy Spirit? All of us need to find a way into silence, which allows us to deepen our awareness of the divine and to find the inward source of our strength. Seek to know an inward stillness, even amid the activities of daily life. Do you encourage in yourself and others a habit of dependence on God's guidance for each day? Hold yourself and others in the light, knowing that all are cherished by God. I love this advice on so many levels, especially perhaps the last sentence, hold yourself and others in the light, knowing that all are cherished by God. So many spiritual teachers I admire talk of the importance of stillness and contemplation as the surest way to connect with the divine. They talk of just noticing thoughts as they arise, gently letting them go and returning to the silence. And I try, I really do, which I guess is half the problem. Every morning I sit for 20 minutes and try to find a way into silence. But as I said to my friend, most of the time, my washing machine mind goes round and round, and stillness, tranquility, elude me. So I asked him whether, as a seasoned Quaker, he had any tips about finding a way into the silence. This was his response. The only tip I can give to using a silence is to imagine a big empty table with a white cloth in front of you and just wait for things to be laid upon it. P.S. Do not put the tablecloth in the mental washing machine, which made me laugh. In spite of much practice, I yet find it hard to still my mind. At the beginning of Lent in 2020, I resolved once more to really get to grips with centering prayer, another term for contemplative prayer, a spiritual practice which I had started innumerable times, but not managed to stick to for more than a couple of weeks, before the excuses started. In a way, it is the simplest spiritual practice of all, as it consists of sitting in silence, waiting on God. Just that. Just sitting. Just sitting. And I do not find it easy. My spiritual director had been after me to do a daily silent sit for ages, but I still struggle with it, because I find it so hard to still my mind. When I started the Encounter course a few years ago, I was somewhat taken aback to find that the first spiritual practice they introduced us to was centering prayer. Here's how you do it. 1. Choose a sacred word or short phrase as a symbol of your intention to consent to God's presence and action within. 2. Sitting comfortably and with eyes closed, settle briefly and silently, introducing the sacred word as a symbol of your consent to God's presence and action within. 3. When engaged with your thoughts, including bodily sensations, feelings, images, and reflections, return ever so gently to the sacred word. 4. At the end of the prayer period, remain in silence with eyes closed for a couple of minutes. The leaflet I have explains that it is a way of cultivating a deeper relationship with God, a way to quiet the mind while maintaining its alertness, resting in God beyond thoughts, words and emotions. And I have more or less stuck with it ever since. The chattering monkeys in my mind still whoop and clamour, but there are times when I find myself sinking into a deeper silence and begin to get an inkling of the benefits of this practice. May we all be able to find a way into the quiet centre of our lives, the blessed quiet that is life and that opens out to more life. As Vincent B. Silliman wrote, where it is possible to dwell in peace and regain some balance in our lives. Amen. Some closing words. Spirit of life and love, may we find a way into the quiet centre of our lives and dwell there in peace. May we return to our everyday world refreshed. May we share the love we feel. May we look out for each other and may we keep up our hearts, now and in the days to come. Amen.